Well, good morning. As we begin this morning, that's a word of prayer. Lord, as we have during this last week faced such tumultuous times in our country, we thank you, Lord, that in spite of what we've had to face as a country, we can turn again afresh to your word. Lord, even as we continue just studying in the book of Hebrews, thank you, Lord, that in spite of all that has happened, in spite of all the rioting and the looting and everything else, Lord, that we can still trust in the reality that it's all about you. Lord, we just pray even today again that you would speak through your word. Remind us, Lord, about the importance of making you priority today. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I had thought long and hard about preaching a message about what had happened in the country this last week, but I thought, man, if we're distracted from the Word of God, then we can easily be distracted all the time. Surely, if we remind people that it's all about Jesus, there's nothing more that we need to do. God will sort them out. Last week, we looked at two compelling reasons to acknowledge the superiority of Jesus. In the last few verses of chapter 10, the passage we looked at last week, the last few verses are a bridge to from the preceding chapters in the book of Hebrews to the last few chapters of the book of Hebrews. Like so many writers in the New Testament, especially Paul, they develop the wherefore in the start of a book and the therefore at the end of the book. They first talk about some theories and then they talk about the practical application. In some ways, the writer to the book of Hebrews does exactly the same thing. Let me remind you that the writer to the book of Hebrews was writing to a group of predominantly Christian Jewish converts to Christianity. These converts had come out of a Jewish system of offering sacrifices to try and deal with their sin to a religious system that required them to put their faith in the founder of this new religious system. And he said that if we follow him, he would save us and take us to be with him in heaven. Now, many of the early believers thought that Jesus was returning in their lifetime to collect them. And when he hadn't, after a period of time, and they were beginning to experience a whole lot of persecution, some started to doubt this faith. That's why this chapter is so important. In the last few verses of chapter 10, the writer to the book of Hebrews had said, "Don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. No matter what happens," folk, how important that is for us. No matter what happens, friends, don't stop trusting God. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come. And not delay. And a righteous person will live by faith. But I will have no pleasure if anyone turns away. But we are not like those who have turned their backs on God and sealed their faith. We have faith that assures our salvation. After spending the opening nine chapters, proving the superiority of Jesus over all other aspects of faith, and one chapter on how we should respond to the superiority of Jesus, in chapter 11, the writer to the book of Hebrews is reminding us as to why our response of faith is superior to all other religions. I've called this sermon, given this title, "The Significance of Faith in the Superiority of Jesus." Let me read the passage for us. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man. When God spoke well of the offerings, by faith he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life, even though he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, then warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Now, before I can explain the significance of faith in the superiority of Jesus, we must first try and understand what this passage has to tell us, or what is said about faith itself. The opening verse of chapter 11 gives us some great insight in how we should understand faith. The verse simply says this: Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. There are a few things I want to bring out for us today. Number one, friends, faith is a verb, not a noun. The verse does not begin with some deep philosophical definition of the concept of faith. It simply describes the activity of what goes into having faith. This concept is very clearly described in the book of James, the brother of Jesus and the leader of the Jerusalem church. James had the following to say between the integrated nature of action and faith. He says this: What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical need, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous by what he did when he offered his son on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete in what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that it says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteous, and he was called God's friend. You see, a person is justified by what he does and not faith alone. Friends, the point James is trying to make is that faith is action and action is faith. You got to believe it. Faith is a verb, friends. Faith is something you do every day. It's not some deep philosophical thought thing. It's practiced every day. You got to show you believe in Jesus. Secondly, faith has to do with being sure. It says in verse 1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for. Now, faith and being sure sound a little bit like an oxymoron. Now, let me give you a new English lesson. Remember what an oxymoron is? An oxymoron is a figure of speech in which two apparently contradictory terms appear together. Faith and being sure. Let me explain it this way. The King James translates this verse in this way. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. This is probably a more accurate translation of the original Greek. The word substance in the Greek is the word that can be translated as to stand under. Literally, a foundation. So, how can faith have to do with something that is sure? Well, friends, faith must be the basis, the foundation of religion. If you don't start with a good foundation, friends, the rest of what you're going to do in your religion is useless. You've got to just have faith. It's got to be at the root of what you're doing and what you believe. Faith, friends, has to do with being sure. Secondly, or thirdly, faith has to do with hope. It says faith has been sure of what we hope for. The Greek tongue's word translated hope for is not a matter of uncertainty, but of expectation. Let me illustrate it in this way. If you're a waiter in a restaurant, you hope you're going to get a tip at the end of the meal. However, it's no guarantee. Your pay depends on the generosity of those that are paying the bill. However, if you're the cook in the same restaurant, you hope you'll get paid at the end of the meal. Well, friends, that hope is certain. Because you don't pay for the meal, you're going to jail. You see, the tip is optional. You may hope to get a tip, but the cook hopes he's going to get his money, and he knows it's more certain. You see, we do not ever need to doubt about the future of God's promises in Christ. We hope in confident expectation of God doing what he said he would do. Why do we hope in confident expectation? Friends, because God has always done what he said he was going to do. Fourthly, faith has to do with certainty. Faith that says is being sure of what we hope for and certain of the things we do not see. The word translated certain of in the Greek is only found twice in the scriptures. It's found here in this verse and in a very significant other verse in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. You'll know when I say that verse that it's important. For that verse, friends, is vital to our trust in the value and the importance of the Word of God. I like the analytical literal translation of 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. It says this, all scripture is God-breathed and is beneficial for teaching, for verification, that's the word, certainty. Verification. You see, friends, the Word of God is verified. We don't need to doubt the Word of God. It proves itself. The old King James translated that word as reproof, verified. The word of God is verified, friends. So what the writer of the book is, Hebrews, is saying, faith verifies the superiority of Jesus. Fifthly, faith has to do with what is unseen. It says, now faith has been sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, when we think about faith, we most often think about what's going to happen in the future. We have faith about something in the future. However, the word used here refers not only to what we haven't seen in the future, it also refers to what we haven't seen in the past as well. You see, we can have confidence about the future because we can have confidence about the past. Jesus implied this when he spoke to doubting Thomas. Remember, Thomas wasn't with the disciples the first time Jesus appeared to them, and later on in John chapter 20 it says, now Thomas called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, we've seen the Lord. And he said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. Peace be with you, he said. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. In other words, have faith. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed. You see, faith, friends, has to do with what is unseen. Both in the future and in the past, we've got to believe all there is about Jesus, and we can have faith in all there is about Jesus, friends, because Christianity is the most trustworthy religion there is of all of them. And regardless of what some people might say about Christianity, friends, it proves itself over and over and over and over again. So, friends, what does it teach us about faith? Faith is not it's a verb, not a noun. Faith has to do with being sure. Faith has to do with hope. Faith has to do with certainty. Faith has to do with what is unseen in the past, in the present, and in the future. So, now that we've seen, as we consider the significance of faith in the superiority of Jesus, we've understood what is said about faith. Now, as we consider the significance of faith in the superiority of Jesus, we must secondly understand how this relates to God. Verses 3 to 6 have a few things to say. It says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that we can, what is seen has not been made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man. By faith, he still speaks even though he's dead. By faith, he is taken from this life, and Enoch was taken from this life so that he didn't experience death because God had taken him away. Before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Friends, there's a lot about how faith relates to God. Why do we need to understand this? First of all, friends, faith has a parallel in creation. See, verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Friends, the fundamental issue in the world today is the matter of creation. You see, if you've got a purely scientific worldview, you don't need faith. If all created matter is merely an accident of the Big Bang theory, then God and faith are not necessary. In this worldview, we are not accountable to God. However, if you believe in creation, then you must believe in God. For if you believe in God, then you must believe that you're accountable to Him. Creation and faith, friends, go hand in hand. If you want to believe in a scientific worldview only, then you don't need faith. You just got to believe in science. But you know, many scientists have said you need more faith to believe in the Big Bang theory than you need to believe in creation. Friends, the Big Bang theory is such a big theory. Humans are trying their best to prove the Big Bang theory. But friends, we believe in a God who started it all. That's why faith is so important in our relationship with God. The second thing this passage tells us about the relationship between faith and God is that, friends, faith is necessary to please God. Verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The point is simple, friend. If you don't have faith, you can't believe in the existence of God. And if you don't believe in the existence of God, how can you please Him? It would be illogical and foolish to try and please God if you're not a person of faith. Why do all those works if you don't really believe in God? The point is simple. Why do anything religious if the starting point is not faith? Faith is necessary to please God. The third relationship between God and faith is, friends, faith results in a reward from God. Verse 6 ends and says, and He rewards all who seek Him. Friends, Jesus earnestly sought to do the will of God. He delighted in that, for He knew by doing His Father's will that He would please His Father and His Father would fulfill His promises to Him. Listen to John 12, verses 49 and 50. For I did not speak my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that His command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father told me to say. And in John 15, verse 20, He says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remained in His love. Friends, Jesus said this. The Son of Man, in Matthew 16, verse 27, the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels, and He will reward each person according to what he has done. So, friends, as we consider the significance of faith in the superiority of Jesus, we've understood what this passage has said about faith. We've understood how this relates to God. Now let's consider the significance of faith in the superiority of Jesus. There's just one point, friends. If you forget everything else, friends, The single point of having faith in the superiority of Jesus is this: you will receive all the promises that are promised in Christ. Friends, why believe in Jesus? Because, friends, as you believe in him, everything you ever need is found in him. Listen to some of these verses here. Verse 2. This is what the ancients were commended for. Look what it says about Abel. By faith was commended as a righteous man. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch did not experience death. Verse 7. By faith, Noah became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham received his inheritance. Verse 9. By faith, Isaac and Jacob were heirs with him of the same promise. What were they looking forward to? They were looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Friends, they were looking forward to heaven. They received everything that is promised in Christ. So what's so significant about having Jesus being superior? What's so significant about having faith in that superiority? Friends, everything God wants to give you is found in Christ. So I have just one final question. Why would you not have faith in the superiority of Jesus? You see, that's the question that the writer of the book of Hebrews was asking those early Jewish Christians, those ones who were ready to desert Christ. Why? Why would you not have faith in the superiority of Jesus? He's trying to remind them, as he reminds us, friends, everything we ever need is found in Christ. Lord, friends, put your trust in the Lord. He will fulfill every desire your heart may want. He will give you all the promises of God they found in him. Lord, again, as we think of those that were running to collect things, Lord, you can loot as many things as you want, but if you don't have Christ, you have nothing. Help us to trust in your significance, in your superiority. Lord, there's nothing else that we have. Help us to put our trust fully in you. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Lord bless you in the rest of this week. Amen.